Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special on-location episode of Part of the Problem, live from the green room at the, I guess we're not live.
I don't love it, and I gotta wait to do blow and all my pre-show rituals. This is supposed to be a spot for partying, my friend.
It's true. Our green room isn't as exciting as some of the fans might have imagined, but we're in Syracuse at the Funny Bone about to go do a show, and Rob had all his equipment, so we were like, why don't we just record an episode here? And you can hear probably there's music playing in the showroom that's coming in. I apologize, but you know.
No, it's setting a vibe. I like
it. Yeah, it's kind of, we might just like kind of dance while we talk politics a little bit. So anyway, I'm enjoying a nice pre-show Lagunitas, chilling in the green room, about to do a stand-up show. And then next week off to headline Comedy Mothership for the first time ever,
yeah.
Which I'm real, real excited about that one. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. All right. So I wanted to, before we get into this, now it feels, I didn't picture doing this to going back to Cali in the background, but I did want to start by saying a word about Kennedy, her show by the same name, getting canceled over at Fox Business. I was very bummed to hear that. It sucks. But that's life. There's always, as I've found in my professional and personal life, that one of the things is there's always chapters, you know? One chapter closes, another chapter begins. And it's sad sometimes when a chapter closes. But you always got to kind of be like, all right, life's about phases. And if you don't embrace that, you end up being the guy who was like really cool in high school who just sucks when he's 30. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, it's like the thing that was cool then isn't cool now. And you got to give that up at a certain point and then move on to what's next. It's something you'll notice throughout your whole life. And so anyway, one chapter closes, another one will begin. I'm sure Kennedy will go on to do great things. But this was a particularly meaningful one for me. Kennedy was the first person to ever put me on television. And she did it at a time when I had nothing going. You know, I mean, I didn't have any credits. I didn't have a following. I didn't have anything. And she just...
How do you even get the recommendation for that?
Sam Morrell.
Oh, that's cool.
Recommended me to them. Sam, if you don't know, is like a hilarious comedian, great guy. And he, you know, I was just like on the scene. And I kind of had a reputation as being like one of the best, like, comedians who knew about politics and stuff, and he sent a tape of mine to one of the producers at Kennedy, who showed it to Kennedy, and she loved it, and she booked me on the spot. And then it was like, can you come in tomorrow, type thing, you know, and do the show. And literally that first time I came in and did the show, she made me a regular. Like, she was just like, Dave's coming back on whenever he wants to.
What was the first segment? Do you remember it?
It was something about Rand Paul's 2016 presidential campaign and how he was went to a college to speak to young people and about whether he could like reignite kind of the Ron Paul energy. And I was just like in my element immediately, right. You know? And then she just made me a regular on the show. It was a real honor. It's one of the honors of my career to be a regular on that show. That was like, Kennedy was the only person who had a television show who gave our ideas like a real hearing, which is all we ever wanted. You know what I mean? Is like, let us like have a voice in this, and I think we can win the argument. And, you know, not just me, of course, I mean, but she put Spike Cohen and Scott Horton and Jeff Dice and so many just of the best people in our movement. And one of the cool things about that show is she would have, you know, she'd have a Democrat, a Republican, and us. And all, whether it was me or Spike or Scott or Jeff or whoever, any of the other great like libertarians we'd always just fuck them up. And it was just so cool that she would let that be on, you know, TV. And on top of all of that, on top of like what she did for me professionally, what she did for our movement in terms of like letting our you know, position be seen on television, she's also just like a great person. Like, I just love her to death. She's just such a sweetheart, such a kind person. She'd always be like, we'd always go and like hang after the shows. Like, we'd go to like the bar around the corner, like everyone who was on the episode. It was always just a great time. She's hilarious. She's a real sweet person. She's I've met her husband and her daughters and stuff, and she's like got a great family. She's a great mom, great wife, and just a great person. So,
what's the Fox News bar? I mean, they're leaving anyway, so you can blow up the spot.
What was it?
It's, you don't have any friends left on that network.
It's true. I don't. I got Gutfeld. Gutfeld's my guy still.
Oh, okay.
It's like an Irish pub down the block. I can't remember, but it's got like the most like Irish bar name. It's like O'Mulligan's
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Have you done Gutfeld's late night show?
Yeah. No, I've done it. It's, you know what happened with Gutfeld? I got to reach back out to them. And in fact, I'm almost certain they've reached out to me a couple times and I just haven't been able to make it work. But what happened was, he loves me and I love him too. So the COVID shit, I went and did, so I'd done the show a bunch and I did the show after COVID and they had a thing, this going back into New York, if you could try to remember, in like 2021. So what they'd do is they'd make you do a rapid test before you could go in the building. And so I was like, okay, you know, fine, right, whatever, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And so I did it a few times. And so you'd rapid test. And I remember going in the building and there'd still be people who are like in masks in there.
And you're like,
this is during the height of mask time, right. You know? And I'd be like, we all got tested before we got here. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? But anyway, but I was fine with that. And then what happened was the vaccine like regime rose up and the rule became, and I don't think it was Fox News imposing it, although it may have been that in addition to, but you had to show proof of vaccination to fucking get in the building. And Kennedy was still going remote.
Right.
So she'd still do it remotely. So I kept doing Kennedy the whole time, but I was just like, I'm not gonna, like, I could get one of those fake cards or something like that, but there still just felt like that would be wrong. Like, in some way, it just felt like that's endorsing this kind of system. And so I just stopped doing the show over that. And then by the time when they stopped doing it, they like reached out to me and I was like, yeah, I will come back in and do that. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass for me because I live out of the city now to come in and do it. But I will. I'll reach back out to them at some point and I'd be down to go do that show again. But anyway.
I don't know if it's still the case since Tucker left, because from what I've heard, they've lost about 50% of the audience or some staggering figure.
I think he might be the biggest show on the network at this point. I don't know.
And for a while, it was badass that Fox News had a conservative show that was beating all the late night people.
Yeah. And he was better. And he was better than all the other ones.
Yeah, I never watch it, but just the fact that Fox News can put up a comedy style show and just beat out the late night people who are all just pushing propaganda.
The thing is that the show is funny because they got Mackie and DeVito,
who are great,
writing
both
for
great
it,
comics,
who are hilarious comedians, and Greg's a really funny dude too.
Right.
So the show's got like good jokes in it.
Yeah.
And it's not like the other shows are just literally like they've they've become caricatures of themselves. Like, they are literally like, we're here to serve the regime. You feel like you're watching what would be a late night show in North Korea.
Right.
Like, it's literally like, like, I mean, Colbert is up there doing like get vaccinated dances. Right. You're like, what the fuck is this? And so he is just kind of being now. Okay.
What did Jimmy Kimmel see on Epstein's Island?
I don't know. Something bad, man. Something, or they, or it's not what he saw. It's what they saw him do it. But right. You know, but now Gutfeld is okay. He's still somewhat constrained by the fact that it's Fox News.
Right.
He's not Gutfeld at a bar like edgy, but he's at least kind of going for it. And he's doing shit that you're kind of like, I can't believe they're doing this on Fox News anyway. But the point of what I was saying was just like that. I really consider Kennedy not only like a great friend, but she's like a hero to me, for not just like a personal hero for me, but like for what she did for people who love liberty in general. And I look forward to seeing what's next. From what I understand, she hasn't like left the network. They canceled her show, but she's still going to be doing other shows and stuff like that. Like she's a regular on Outnumbered and some of these other shows, but nothing will quite be like that show. And it is it's like with all these chapters that close, the next one, you know, you always have to embrace the next one. But there always is a point when it closes that's just kind of sad. You know, you're just kind of like, oh, man, you know, that comedy club closed or that whatever, you know. And so that's a big one for me because it was since, I guess, 2016 up to today, you know, that was a huge thing for me and for the liberty movement. And so you know, it's too bad. I hope, in a way, I was kind of bummed that she's even still at the network, because I was like, yo, just go independent, man, and just have a show on the internet and make it way bigger and better. But who knows what'll be next for her. I wish her the best anyway. I just ran into her too. We were on a plane together randomly when I was coming back from Tampa, I guess it was. Yeah, it was when we were coming back from Tampa. We just happened to be on the same plane together. And for the record, by the way, I hadn't been on the show in like a few months, but that was literally just because I like moved and then just was traveling a lot and had a lot of shit going on. And now that's kind of a regret of mine. You know, like I told her when she saw me, she's like, how come you haven't been on the show? Come on, come back on. And she's like, okay, we'll get you on this week, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, 100%. And then, of course, I guess she must have found out shortly after that. But that's one of those things, like, I almost feel like in a way, like, when you've just been meaning to call someone and then they die or something like that. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, I've been meaning to go back and do it. But I did the show every week for years and years and years. And there's just always so much fun. I had great moments on the shows that I really loved. Loved fighting. There was that one where I called what's her name? The chick who was the State Department under John Kerry. And I called her a fascist to her face for supporting the vaccine passports. And then she was like, you probably don't even know what fascism is. And then I just ripped her up. I had arguments with a bunch of like Democrats and stuff. And I just always had fun. It was always a great time. And Kennedy always really had my back, which was cool. Like, she'd always be like, I'd always make more sense than the other guests. And she'd always be like, he is making more sense than all you guys, you know? So anyway, that was cool. Shout out to Kennedy. She's the best. Make sure you go, if you don't already follow her, support her. Also, by the way, she's also just like, she's just like an icon for like my generation. Like, she was the MTV VJ, like when MTV was the shit, and that it was so cool that she went on to be this too. I used to watch MTV when I was a little kid, like in her time, and it was just so cool that like that person went on to be in the world that I'm in. So anyway, yeah, that's all. Just wanted to start off with something about that. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is SheathUnderwear.com, the underwear of legends, the best underwear you will ever own, the most comfortable boxer briefs you will ever put on your body, literally the only boxer briefs that I wear, the only underwear I wear. I'm always in a pair of Sheath underwear. Every time you hear me, that's what I'm wearing. And here's something crazy. Sheath has been advertising on this podcast for over 3 years. I just realized this. I still have my original pairs. The pairs they first sent me when they started advertising, and they're still as good as they were the day they sent me to them. They're quality boxer briefs. You're going to love them. The dual pouches are a game changer. You don't have to use them. You can just wear them like regular underwear, but I'm going to recommend you give them a shot. SheathUnderwear.com. Com, a loyal sponsor of this podcast for over 3 years and the makers of the greatest underwear that's ever touched the balls of men. Sheathunderwear.com. Use the promo code PROBLEM20. That will get you 20% off your next order. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so I want, you know, look, you know, I don't want to just talk about transgender shit too much. Okay, I try not to, because I just hate, I resent that this is even a conversation that we're having as a nation. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what the fuck, Rob? Like, you're like, all right, look, we're on the you know, the brink of nuclear war, and the currency is being destroyed, and yes, sure, the debt is out of control and the country's falling apart, but we need to have a national conversation about chicks with dicks, and it has to happen now, you know. And you're like, what? But it's almost impossible not to. And anyway, I'm having a debate about it on Jose Gallison's show, No Way Jose, on Tuesday night, I believe we're doing it. So I guess I'm going to have to talk about it there a little bit more. But this story to me just seemed like it seemed like this was something big, I mean, even bigger than the issue itself. We were talking about this. But so Matt Walsh, he did this documentary, What is a Woman? And essentially, and I have not watched the whole thing. I've watched several clips of it. This is not a knock on the documentary at all. I just find it, it's like hard for it to keep my attention. And it's just so stupid. The whole thing is so stupid. Not him. Yeah, no. The fact that this is even a thing, it's right. Like you get it within 2 minutes of watching it. You're right. Like, oh, no one can answer.
I mean, I watched it, I think it came out 6 months ago, only on their platform, and I watched it start to finish and loved it. I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
I thought watching the different people who were well-credentialed to address the issue completely crumble was fascinating. There were definitely aspects I was unaware of, such as the puberty blockers and just how far they're taking it without any scientific reason or basis whatsoever and being unwilling to answer for it. Also showcasing individuals that regretted the decisions. So yeah. I think I watched it start to finish, and I get what you're saying, where you're like, I already agree with this. I get the point that you're making. I don't need to see this played out across an hour and multiple conversations. But yeah. I'll say I actually thought it was great start to finish.
No, I'm not knocking it at all. I was just kind of giving my personal feeling on it. No, I think I think it was a service that he provided, and I think that a lot of people that I've heard reactions from a lot of people upon seeing it, who were even like, kind of like, oh, I thought this was going to be kind of like a right wing, kind of, you know, like moral panic type thing or something like that, and then they were like, now it's actually pretty undeniable that he is really just going, and like you said, accredited people who are like the people who have like degrees and titles, who are doctors, whatever, who not only can't answer his question, but he comes, it's almost like he starts by just asking these simple questions, and they're like, okay, well, yeah, it's an interesting question, and then they just give you a bunch of gobbledygook, like they've got nothing to say, and then he goes, yeah, but the question, and they're like, well, again, gobbledygook, and he's like, no, but the question, and as soon as they realize that he's not, that he's questioning your religion, essentially, like that, not that he's like being shitty or aggressive, but they realize he's not here to just agree with my religion, he's actually questioning it, and they get nasty with him and like don't want to talk anymore, and that in itself is very revealing.
I loved there was the scene with the doctor, which was particularly creepy when he started asking her about the puberty blockers, because she's sitting there going, oh, it's just about helping the kids and making them feel special and welcome. And he goes, well, don't we use this for castration? And then she shells up. But I really like the one with the professor, because it's such a classic leftist move where they start really debating it. And then he turns it to him to go, well, I'm just curious to know, why do you care about this? And I watched this 6 months ago, so I don't totally. But he goes, you have an entire course that you're teaching this to kids. Yeah. This is your thing, so I'm asking you to explain to me why it's important that this is the philosophy, and if you could tell me the philosophy, you don't get to turn to me and go, why do you care about this?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, there's a strain of libertarians who
are wrong?
are wrong.
Annoying?
Yes. Well, no, that's the whole thing.
Oh, but that we're all annoying. Yes, but they're more annoying.
But there's a strain of libertarians who have this really goofy view about this stuff that gets, first of all, it's stupid, and there's many more libertarians who don't fall into this stupidity. But then there's also a lot of people on the right who kind of slam libertarians because of this strain of libertarians, in which where they're kind of justified, but it's unfair that they end up slamming all of us who are not like this. But the libertarian position essentially is that you can't violently impose your will on your neighbor if he's acting peacefully. You can violently impose your will on your neighbor if he's acting violently and it's defensive, but that's basically the libertarian position. But then there's this goofy strain of libertarians who attempt to extrapolate from that it's like, well, if someone else is doing something, why should I care? What effect does it have on me? If it's not, you know, now leaving aside castrating kids, because that to me is an act of violence and child abuse. But even that, even if it's just two consenting adults doing something, you're like, it doesn't mean you shouldn't care or have an opinion or that it doesn't affect you. You know what I mean? This is something you realize when you have kids. I was talking about this on this guy Kyle's show recently. But when you have kids, you realize very quickly that, like, you know, and I got little kids, so I'm not really there yet, but you realize you're going to be there where, like, you have to release them into the world to some degree. They're going to, even if you homeschool them, like, they're going to have friends. They're going to go over to friends' houses. They're going to do activities. They're going, and you realize that, like, you know, the way other people are raising their kids really affects me too, because my kids are going to be exposed to their kids. You know what I mean? And so, like, the libertarian position is not that anything anyone else does doesn't affect me or doesn't have an opposite, you know? And so it reminds me of that where it's like, well, why do you even care? Like, are you even interested in this? It's like, I don't know, because the world, the society that I live in is going fucking nuts, so I care? Am I not allowed to, like, care about this? And then it's interesting for someone who specializes in this that you go, oh, I want to ask you about your specialization. And they're like, why do you even care about it? Like, wouldn't you be thrilled that people care about? Anyway.
Well, there's a distinction between championing that people should have the freedom to do something. There's a distinction between you should be allowed to go and do something versus we should celebrate it.
Yes.
Or we should be teaching it to others. So, for example, even my own delinquent habits, you don't teach it to other people. You don't cherish it. We don't have a pro porn and jerk off in the afternoon society. Yeah. We're not teaching that to kids. We should celebrate it.
Look, even back in my degenerate days before I got married and had a family and stuff, I was always well aware that, like, this shouldn't be celebrated. You know what I mean? Like, even the degenerate things I'm doing, I'd be like, yeah, I should be a little bit ashamed of that.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I shouldn't be like, I have so much pride in the fact that I'm, like, doing drugs and hooking up with someone. Or something. You know, I'd be like, no, this is kind of like.
But I guess where this gets a little bit sticky is that people get upset with comparing adults who want to change genders to a shameful or like a shameful act. But I would argue it's not so much like you're free to do whatever the hell you want. And I don't care. I really don't care. I probably care a little bit less than you do. But there's something we said for, like, this is a potentially harmful lifestyle. There isn't a lot of science backing the reality to it. The actual infrastructure doesn't even support it. Like, you're making life-altering decisions where you're now stuck in the hands of doctors and having to show up and continuous treatment. So, like, it's something that if you want to do, great, go ahead and do it. You should have the freedom to do it. You should be allowed to associate with other people that like it. But us completely celebrating in a way that's going to create more of it and motivate the behavior, that's clearly a societal mistake until maybe the science catches up to actually being able to easily do it. And then it becomes more of a flaw. What I'm saying is it's not even a philosophical conversation right now. Because at the moment, a lot of these procedures seem to be a real undertaking that, like, people should almost probably have to go through some trouble to get there mentally that they want to do it. Because they're making a very tough decision for themselves and the lifestyle they're going to live.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think that there's several aspects to this, right? There's the debate about children, I do think, should be really separate from the debate about adults.
It shouldn't be a debate. That's the craziness. Well, look, it should just be, hey, guys, no. No.
Yeah, there should be. Yes, you should not be allowed to perform elective, irreversible like procedures to children. It's just, if we accept that they can't consent to a contract, they can't consent to have sex, they can't drink, they can't drive, they can't get tattoos, like all this shit, then those are all way less important decisions. Like, voting is not irreversible, you know what
and
I mean?
And there's no evidence or scientific criteria for 4 to, let's say, 16-year-olds to make that decision about themselves. The best evidence is that they're growing out of it. So the people that are advocating...
Well, the overwhelming majority. The biggest studies show that the overwhelming majority of them end up living life as the sex that they are.
The problem with the studies is that the range is so wide that they're not great. Like, it's like a 70 to 90%. But I would say if you're advocating for children that they're able to make this realization about themselves at a young age, I would think you'd have very good proof of the fact. Like, you would have 100% of the kids who think at age 4, you'd run those studies and it would be an absolute. So absent of definitive proof of the fact that a kid can make that evaluation for themselves, the fact that you would even consider allowing them to do it with the harms of that it's irreversible.
Listen, I got a 4-year-old. It is so ridiculous, the idea to think that a 4-year-old can make this decision about themselves. The 4-year-olds who make this decision always happen to have parents who are like trans activists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're a reflection of you. That is, it's just absolutely ridiculous that a 4-year-old can know anything like that. It's just, anyway, it's insane. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Mango. Think Mango. They help men get hard and go hard. Their new innovative compound will level up your bedroom game. They combine 3 FDA-approved ingredients, tadalafil, sildenafil. These are the active ingredients in Cialis and Viagra. They also have oxytocin, aka the love hormone, and L-arginine to increase blood flow to achieve optimum performance. Rapid dissolving tablets that hit the bloodstream quick for faster results. It's a mango flavor. They're individually packaged for on-the-go use, and it's 100% online with free doctor's visits. No subscription required to try the mangoes. Go to mangorx.com right now and use the promo code GAS15 and you will get 15% off your first order. That's mangorx.com, promo code GAS15 for 15% off your first order. All right, let's get back into the show. So Daily Wire and Matt Walsh decide that they're going to put this this documentary up on Twitter for free. Now, they've had it behind their paywall, I guess, for a while. But they're like, hey, for a few days, we're going to put it up. And of course, they're doing this, I'm sure, it's for Pride Month and all that. And, you know, so, okay, this is the time you guys want to bring this topic up, so we're going to talk about it now. So they put the documentary up, and I guess it was initially censored by
Twitter. I don't know
if
it was censored
or it was warning, throttled, something happened, okay? And then the that decision was reversed. A woman was fired over it. And then Elon Musk shared the video and said, this is something that every parent should watch. So not only did they reverse course from censoring it to sharing it, but also sharing it with the most influential person on the site and the owner of the site, giving it a full recommendation that this is a must watch for every parent. And last I checked, it was up to like 15 million views or something like that. And this is just the Twitter version. And so number one, you're like, wow, that's just really interesting, right? That, look, I'm not saying Elon Musk is perfect. I'm not saying Twitter's been perfect since he bought it. It certainly hasn't. And he certainly hasn't followed through with like some of his promises, which is, you know, disappointing. But there definitely is something different here, where even when something like this happens, it seems like enough noise can be made that he will reverse course and like do these things. And this is at least a huge improvement over the previous censorship regime at Twitter.
Yeah, and it also speaks to that great content can actually change minds. And if this documentary didn't exist, there wouldn't be that much counter evidence or counter to consider. So kudos to the Daily Wire, specifically on this topic of putting out good content.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, look, it is, look, just with the whole thing, however you feel about it, and I tend to agree with you where I'm like, look, adults can do what they want to do. You can call yourself whatever you want, and you can live your life how you want to do it. I believe adults ought to be free. Now, as I've said before, whether doctors should be performing the surgery or not is an entirely different question. I do think there's a legitimate claim that it's highly unethical for a doctor to perform an elective, irreversible surgery.
Right.
You know, like that's...
Like what's the line? If I identify as no legs, will a doctor remove my legs from me?
Just cut my legs up. I have healthy legs. Right. And because, you're just
going to... Oh, it's going to be more dangerous if he does it at home.
He'll be more likely to commit suicide if he doesn't live right. as the person he identifies with. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. First off, you don't have evidence to back that up. The suicide rate seems to be unchanged by all of these interventions.
Right.
And second of all, you're like, no, maybe like... It seems more reasonable to me that actually the healthy alternative is to try to, like, through therapy, you know, get you to accept that you're not a person with no legs. You are, in fact, a person with two healthy legs, and that's fine. Now, you're talking about cutting off healthy limbs of people. Okay, so there's a real debate there that whether doctors should do it. However, I think aside from that, one of the things, mostly what people object to are children, competing in women's sports, women's spaces, issues like that. But there is just something about this thing that's like this transgenderism thing is like it's a religion. And that's okay. You can have a religion, right? Like there's lots of different religions out there. And even people who are religious tend to think that every other religion except theirs is incorrect. That's kind of the nature of being religious, that you believe in your religion, you don't believe in the other
religions.
And then
you're going to go fight and kill the other ones.
And then there's only one logical conclusion, which is you must rape and pillage. However, what the transgender religion does that no other religion currently in modern America does is that they demand that you also believe it.
Right.
Or at least that you claim that you also believe it. And that is what a lot of people object to. Like, no, I do not have to pretend that trans women are women. That's an unreasonable claim. Just like in the same way, like if a Christian comes up to an atheist and says, I'm a Christian, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I have the right to have that belief. That's a reasonable claim. If they say, I have a right to have a church and go worship Jesus and other like-minded people can come and we can worship together, that is a reasonable demand. If they say, I also demand that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you affirm that out loud, like, that is not reasonable. Like, that's the liberty line, right? Like, that's not reasonable. And so now there is this push to be like, if you misgender somebody or you refer to someone by the wrong pronouns or whatever the hell it is, that you are somehow have committed some sin and must be punished. That's a thing that a lot of people object to, and I think rightfully so. Not saying you should be a dick to somebody. And I typically have always, like, you know, like if there's a trans person there with me, I'll usually call them what they want to be called. I have fucked up a little bit before. Like, I know there's like someone I knew in high school, is my sister's age in high school, but is now identifying as a man. And I have called her she a few times. But it's just like I knew her for years when she was a girl. So like now, but like, she is a woman. Like, if now I'm not gonna argue with her when I see her. I'd be like, why are you living as a dude? You're a chick. You know, I don't know. It's not my business. It's like, you live your life. If you're happier this way, God bless. Whatever. But if we're just having a conversation about it, and you're like, oh, well, is she a woman or a man? Like, no, I don't. I get to tell the truth. That's my God-given right to tell the fucking truth, and I'm not gonna stop. So, that's, I think, another thing people object to, and I like that at least. Whatever, if you, it's like, this is the thing the left does, and this is kind of like what you were getting at with that person being like, why do you even care about this? Is they force a fucking national conversation that none of us wanted to have. And then when you push back on it, they go, why are you even having this conversation? It's like, what? Why am I having, only because you won't shut up about it. I would never be having this conversation otherwise. There's no way I'd be talking about this. But now you've made me. So now we're going to talk about it, you know? All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is ZBiotics. If you've ever felt pretty awful,
the day after a fun night. Maybe you had to skip a workout because of drinks the night before. Well, you're not alone, but now there is a solution, and it's ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic. It's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next days. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. It's designed to work like your liver, but in your gut where you need it the most. Just remember to drink ZBiotics before drinking alcohol, drink responsibly, and get a good night's sleep to feel your best tomorrow. Give ZBiotics a try for yourself. Go to ZBiotics.com/POTP to get 15% off your order when you use the promo code POTP at checkout. So ZBiotics/POTP, and then the promo code at checkout is POTP for 15% off. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Once again, ZBiotics.com/POTP for 15% off when you use the promo code POTP at checkout. All right, let's get back into the show. What else did we want to talk about?
Well, there was some Trump news this week. The first one was that video came out of him talking about ending the Ukraine war in a single day.
Oh, yeah. So he did another town hall. This one was with Sean Hannity.
Yep.
It was a friendlier town hall. But again, Donald Trump did very good. Again, when the question of Ukraine came up, he doubled and tripled down on what his position was, which was that his position is basically, I don't care who wins the war. I want it to stop immediately. This never would have happened if I was president, and I will end it in 24 hours. Now,
and also, just to add one thing.
Sure.
This is bad, people are dying, which not yes, enough yes. people are acknowledging.
Yes. Yeah. That's really the fucking story here.
Yeah.
That's horrible. And the other thing Trump says a lot, which is interesting, is that he's like, and the numbers are way worse than they're letting on.
Right.
Which I, now, okay. So if I were to take all of these claims, I'd say, okay, the claim that he doesn't care who wins or loses, but people are dying and therefore he wants it to stop. Like that, let's take that point first. 100%. Like, I could not agree with him more on that. And I think it's just insane anyone has a different opinion. Like, what are you talking about, man? It's like, this idea that even like you hear, like, I don't know, when people make the argument that they're like, well, he invaded and therefore you don't want to negotiate because then that's rewarding his invasion. And it's like, yeah, dude, Kiev has been fucking bombing and shooting and killing the ethnic Russians in the Donbass region for fucking, what, 8 years? Like, Zelensky is fucking, you know, a fucking thug. He's like, he's a fucking authoritarian leader himself. So, like, in what way is it like, yes, Putin invaded, he's wrong for invading. Zelensky's also wrong for the authoritarian way in which he's governed. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, it's like, no, you want people to stop dying. Trump's completely right on that first point. What did you want to say?
It's like a dumb line. It's like declaring, hey, if my neighbor needs to stop watering his plants on Tuesdays, I can't live next to a person who waters his plants on Tuesdays. And you go to war with your neighbor over the watering. Like, not really important. Like, we've made it important to say, oh, we can't have a country invading another country because that's going to reset the whole globe where everyone thinks that they can go invade another country, which we've spent the last 20 years invading countries.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's not even an accurate projection of the world that we live
also,
in.
If that were true, if the thing is just allowing big powers with nuclear weapons to invade countries will set this precedent, then it would still come back to being our fault.
Right.
Then you'd go, okay, so you set this precedent then, if that's the way it works. Great job. Stop invading countries then, you know? Sorry, keep going.
No, I agree 100%. It's a false projection of, we need to hold this line because otherwise we're going to live in a false world.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
In a worse world. That's what I meant to say.
Yes. And yeah. This is like, you know, when I was debating Constantine, who, you know, this was the argument that he made, which I did push back on, but perhaps I should have been like stronger pushing back on it. Although I thought I did well in the debate. But where he's like, oh, you know, well, if America doesn't do this, then, you know, the Soviet Union's going to be reconstituted and Russia's going to control half of Europe. And it's just like, there's no, like, There's really no evidence of that. It's just an assertion based on kind of ridiculous assumptions that the, all these other countries just fold and that, like, it's just, it doesn't seem right at all. Okay, so Donald Trump's completely right on that point. Now, the other, let's take the other points that he makes. He says this never would have happened on his watch. That, I think, is a pretty dubious claim.
Well, he might not have pushed the NATO expansion. If anything, he's kind of spoke out against us.
Well, no, there was NATO expansion under Donald Trump's watch. Donald Trump sent weapons into Ukraine, even when Obama wouldn't. He also got us out of the INF treaty. You know, the problem with Donald Trump is that he's a big dumb buffoon, and he was just trying to prove what a Russian agent he's not. And I think that's kind of how they trapped him.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not a Russian agent. I'll be tough on Russia here. But, and, you know, so I don't know. I don't know that it would. But there is a chance he's right about that. The thing is that Joe Biden coming back in brought back in the regime who backed the coup in 2014.
Right.
And I think that definitely, like.
But they also certainly sat down with Zelensky and said, hey, here's your payday. Like, you got to play ball with us. I don't know that Trump would have been that. In other words, without us sitting down and saying, this is the way that you're going to play it with Zelensky, I don't know that he would have been.
You say after Putin invaded.
Yeah.
That maybe the war wouldn't have prolonged if Trump hadn't played.
Right.
Yeah, okay, there's an argument to that. But Trump's claim is that he never would have invaded. That's slightly different. What you're saying is that after he invaded, Trump's position wouldn't have been you get a blank check to continue this war for another year plus. So that's a fair point. That's a fair point, too. The thing is, it's a counterfactual. It's hard to know for sure with all of this stuff how it would have gone. Would Trump have gotten rolled, you know, and just gone along with it? It's possible. We've seen him get rolled on a lot of other big issues, COVID, and many others. So I don't know. I don't know about that claim. But it's also anything that Donald Trump says, you have to assume there's going to be Trumpian bluster involved in it. The next point is that he can end the war in 24 hours.
I like that one. That was so Trump.
Now, it is very Donald Trump. It's got a real Mexico will pay for it type of vibe about it. You know
what
I mean?
I'll get it done. It already happened.
Perfect. Putin's going to beg me to grab him by the pussy. You know, like, okay. Now, I don't know if he can end it in 24 hours, but what a great thing to make as a campaign promise.
Right.
That now the pressure would be on him to end it immediately.
And then bashing DeSantis.
Yes.
Because that's a good talking point. For bashing DeSantis is DeSanctimonious over there says that he's going to keep the war going.
Yes, yeah. That's right. So I got to say, in terms of what you want to hear from a president, I'm not saying I trust him to do it. I'm not saying he can do it exactly the way he claims. But in terms of what you'd want to hear from a presidential candidate, it's really pretty close to perfect.
This is also a good aspect to this is that I think we can all acknowledge that war is largely unpopular in the United States, and they have to work really hard to sell it, and then that's kind of why they have to stay in for a long time because we're already there.
Yeah.
They got to hide the expenses. They got to say Pentagon. You know, they got to fuck up their budgets. Like, but the point is they do have to sell this to the American people, and the American people don't want it. If Trump, let's say he runs against someone who's not Biden, there's a different Democrat, and the Democrats being pro-war loses them the election. And there's actually almost a mandate from the American people. Yeah. We don't want to be in war. It sends a very profound statement to the deep state and the powers that be who are trying to sell wars of, I don't know how many more of these we can sell.
Yeah. Yeah. We may at least have to take a break for a little or something like that.
Yeah.
So look, if nothing else, and I think mostly what I think we recognize, right, is that, okay, you know, there's that quote. Do you remember when Tucker Carlson gave the quote from the CIA anonymous source who said they killed Kennedy? So Tucker Carlson, this was pretty interesting. It was several months back when he had a television show. And it was when Biden, like, declassified some of the Kennedy documents, but still kept, like, tens of thousands of documents classified. And Tucker claims, and I don't know, but I don't think Tucker would just make this up, but Tucker claims, and he knows people, like Tucker's connected to this world, and he goes, we had someone speak to us off the record, or on the record with the condition of anonymity, who's had access to all of the files, who's read all of them, and we asked him point blank, was the CIA involved in Kennedy's assassination? And the quote from the guy was, yes.
Yes.
Well, the first sentence right. was yes. And then he said, it's not the country we thought it was. It's all fake.
Mm.
Which is just like a really interesting way to put it. And I think that probably we all recognize, me and you and anyone who listens to this show, probably recognizes that, like, yeah, the president isn't exactly the president, you know? And it's probably whoever wins, even if somebody with really good ideas wins, there's still a long gap between that and getting that done. And there's a lot that gets in the way of that. There's the intelligence agencies and the shadow government, the millions of bureaucrats, even just who are in between you and getting it done, the corporate press. There's just like a lot of elements that, but what presidential political races are, if nothing else, is they are the time where the American people are the most focused on these ideas that they will be for the next 4 years, you know? And they're the time where a message can be spread, you know what I mean? Like, if, to a wider audience than any other opportunity, than any other time will give you an opportunity for. And if nothing else, the fact that Trump is going to be making this case for the next year and a half is just great, you know?
Right.
Like, win, lose, or draw, whatever actually happens, just that alone. The fact that, and this is what's great about RFK too, that he's going to be making this case. But Donald Trump was the former president of the United States. So for him to be making it is, if nothing else, at least this is putting this idea in front of the American people, and also particularly right-wingers who look at the guy as a hero, at least giving them permission to be like, you don't have to support this at all. You can be completely against it. And one of the things that's nice is that, you know, as stupid and fucked up and corrupt as the whole thing is, the way American politics tends to work is like people are partisans, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, like the vast majority of like fucking people who support Trump and people who supported, say, Obama, right? If Obama had enacted a policy that Trump had enacted, all the fucking Democrats, or the vast majority of them, would celebrate him for doing it.
Right.
And if Trump did it, they'd all criticize him for doing it. Because they don't really give a shit. They don't really know about the policy. They just like their guy. You know what I mean? Like, they would have hated Bush for doing the same thing, but then they were fine with Obama doing the same thing. And then they would hate Trump for doing the same thing. And vice versa. It's true on both sides, right? But one of the things about this war in Ukraine, see, unlike the war in Yemen, no one's going to fucking criticize the war in Yemen, because it, that would like be a repudiation of both Obama and Trump.
Right.
So everyone's incentivized to not be against that war, because the guy they love would also be guilty if you're against it. But this war is just on Biden, because right. it started in 2022. There's no Republican president who is a part of it. So with Trump being against it, now all the Republican base, they have permission to be like, yeah, this is Biden's fucking deal. We're against it. So if nothing else, that's pretty great. All right. You want to fucking wrap up there, dude?
Because we got a fucking show. Yeah, we got a show to do here in a few minutes. Green Room episode.
Green Room episode done. See you guys next week at the Comedy Mothership. Hope a bunch of you guys are out there. And then we got a bunch more stuff coming up. ComicDaveSmith.com, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. I'm sorry, RobbieTheFire.com.
Run Your Mouth podcast. Check it out. Good episodes lately.
Hell yeah. All right. Peace.